What we want to do this morning is continue with what the Lord gave me on this destiny. Destiny that you're thinking determines destination. And we have to get our thinking right. We get our thinking right, we get our talking right, we get our doing right. And I promise you that we need to work on all those things, okay? And what I want to talk to you about this morning to begin with is eternal destiny. We've talked about natural destiny, about finding your purpose in life. You don't find your purpose seeking purpose. You find your purpose getting in relationship with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord. And the more you fellowship with the Lord, the more things unfold, the more direction you get. And one day you look back and you realize that you're doing what you were created to do. But I want us to think about eternal destiny. Eternal means forever. Did you know that? Okay, never ending. So we should put some thought into eternal things, shouldn't we? Destiny is where you want to be in the future. So where do you want to be in this never ending future? Just as we plan for natural destiny, we have to plan for eternal destiny. When the natural life's over, where do you plan to be? A better question is, have you planned? And see, a lot of people give no thought to eternity. Consequently, they make no plans. One who plans to live eternally with God must accept Jesus Christ as his Savior in this life. Otherwise, you're not going to live eternally with the Lord. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the only one who can change a person's nature. So our nature is what separates us from God. We were all born with a sin nature because we're all descendants of Adam. And so that nature has to change in order for our destiny to change. You with me? We were born destined to be separated from God, but we get born again, and then our destiny changes to live eternally with the Lord. Now, although salvation has been legally accomplished, it has to be appropriated by faith in Jesus Christ. Just because your sins are forgiven doesn't mean you enjoy it. You have to accept it. If you don't accept it, you die in your sin. It's as simple as that. Everyone has an eternal destiny. But that eternal destiny is the choice of each and every individual. Man's destiny is not predetermined, as some people teach. It's determined by the choices one makes in his natural life. Where I live eternally is dependent upon what I do here. What choices do I make here? And once one arrives at his eternal destiny, it can't be changed. It is forever. Although there's a popular teaching right now that's just really reincarnation. You don't get it in this life, you get it in the next life. You don't get it in that life, you get it in the next life. Well, I can't find that in the Scriptures. You find in the Scriptures, if we don't get it in this life, we're in trouble. God originally has destined humanity to be like God. And that was the destiny that God had for man in the beginning was for man to be an extension of God on earth, representation of God. But you realize that when Adam disobeyed God, that he changed the destiny of humanity and he produced a race that followed his nature, not God's. And a lot of people overlook this. You know, the original intent, Adam, you do what I tell you to do, and we're going, and you can produce a race after God. But Adam says that he's going to do it his way. And so everyone is born a descendant of Adam, not a son of God. You follow me? Okay. So Adam's thinking changed the destiny of humanity. When his wife offered him that fruit, he thought about it. The Bible tells us that he was not tempted. He deliberately ate that fruit. You understand? According to Genesis 6:6, man's thoughts were continually evil. Therefore, God destroyed all but 8 people in the flood. Isn't that amazing? In 10 generations, how wicked humanity had become because of wrong thinking. Even after the flood, people refused to follow God's thoughts. They contrived their own, and once again, God had to intervene there at Babel and had to confuse the language and get the people to divide it. He said, if the people, these people, the way they are right now, they're all in agreement. They're all speaking the same language, and nothing that they can, that they imagine can they be stopped. They can do anything they imagine to do because they're unified. So God broke the unity. I guess the devil took notes, because that's what he does today. He tries to break the unity and divide the body of Christ into this segment, this segment, this segment. And then we lose our strength and our power because of lack of unity. God wants us to unify, but we unify around the Word of God. We unify around the Spirit of God. And I promise you, if we're all following the Word and the Spirit, we will be thinking right. We'll be thinking alike. We won't be fighting one another. You know, God gave the law to Moses after bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt to actually form a nation. God gave them a constitution for the nation. That law of Moses was God's thoughts, not Moses. Moses didn't come up with it. God gave it to him. But they didn't want God's thoughts. They rejected God's thoughts, and they followed their own thoughts, and look at where it got them. And I can tell you, if you follow your own thoughts and you're not thinking like God, it's going to take you away from God as well. Man went from the reality of God into a religious form of God, refusing to fulfill God's the God-ordained purpose that he had for us, and they didn't fulfill destiny. You understand? This is what's going on today. Form has replaced personal relationship. They want you to enter into a relationship with a denomination, with an organization. This is not about form. This is about a person and entering into relationship with the one who created you. That's pretty incredible that he would want to enter in relationship with us. But he does. But we have to cooperate. When Jesus came to earth in a physical body, which was delivered by the Virgin Mary, man's destiny was brought back in agreement with God. Prior to that, people were going their own way. There were some good people along the way, but they still had a wrong nature. Jesus always kept his thinking in line with Father God. Think about that. Always. He never operated independently of his Father. Consequently, he achieved man's destiny, and he paved the way for all humanity to think God thoughts. Think like God thinks. And if you think like God thinks, you arrive at the destination that God originally intended. Jesus, his entire life on earth, was a visible representation of God. This is how God thinks. This is how God talks. This is how God acts. And when Philip said, "Show us the Father," Jesus said, "You see him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And see, that's what the Lord is wanting out of the church, the body of Christ today, that where if people see us, they see Jesus. But they're seeing form. They're seeing all kinds of garbage that's not God. And you listen to the talk, it's not thoughts of God. It's thoughts interjected by men telling you a certain way you need to live. I'm going to tell you how you need to live. Read your Bible daily, pray daily, listen to the Spirit of God daily, and do what God tells you to do, and you're going to be right. And no man needs to be telling you that. No one needs to be telling you how to live your life. Listen to the Spirit. Jesus created a new race of people here on earth. Adam created a natural race. Jesus has created a spiritual race. Then I'm talking about those who are born again. And this race thinks like God. It doesn't think carnally. Carnal just simply means pertaining to flesh. And the Adamic race thinks about the flesh. What I'd like to do, what I think I need to do, and all this type of stuff. Carnality is not all gross sin. Most of it's not. It's just putting attention on you instead of putting attention on God. And the race that Jesus created has put attention on Father God, not on humanity. So just as Adam produced a natural race of people who follow his nature, Jesus has produced a spiritual race of people who follow his nature, thinking like God. What did Jesus ever do for himself? No, his attention was always on doing what the Father wanted done, and it always was ministering to someone else. His needs were met. Now here's the thing. He didn't have many. We have a lot of needs. You know, I can remember, in younger years of life, I just thought the more toys you had, the better off you were, you understand? The more stuff you could accumulate. And what I started finding out was the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to work on. And what happens, it consumes your time. And will actually take you away from God. And a lot of people have, God has blessed us. We're a blessed people. And we buy this, we buy that, and then it takes us away from God. We'll spend a little time with God if we don't have anything else to do. Boy, is that a deception. God wants us to be like Him. He wants us to think like Him. He wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're thinking like God. It's God's thoughts. God's interjecting His thought into you. And you follow those thoughts. If you're led by the Spirit, you'll say what God says, and then you'll do what God does, if you're truly led by the Spirit. Just lets you know that most people aren't led by the Spirit. Listen to what they're saying. Would Jesus say what they're saying? I won't ask. You just take it. I'll make it general. I won't ask you if Jesus would say what you say and think what you think. But it is something to provoke you. Those who are led by the Spirit will know their God, and consequently, they'll do great exploits on earth. You know, I think of various ministers in the past that entered into a particular revelation, whether it was a healing revelation or salvation revelation, and how powerful they were, because they believed, they were strong in the revelation they had. They were strong in what they believed. And you look at the mighty things that has been done supernaturally, the healings, miracles, people being delivered from the power of the devil. That's not just something to read about in the book of Acts. That's something to live out in this life. To where it's not they, it's us that are listening to God, saying what God says, and then acting on what God has told us. I can tell you, when God's thoughts become man's thoughts, the kingdom of God will be established on earth. God will be ruling. If you're thinking like God, talking like God, acting like God, God's ruling. Right? So, thinking God's thoughts will not only reveal destiny, it'll manifest destiny. You want to know purpose, you'll see purpose. You'll see yourself walking out purpose when you start doing what God's told you to do. Amen? Now, I'm going to summarize all this and give you a conclusion. We should finish this morning, okay? Words and actions are preceded by thought. We all know that, don't we? Well, if you know that, why are you thinking them? See, we can all ask ourselves that question, right? Thinking formulates ideas. Those ideas will formulate an imagination on the inside of us, and that imagination affects our actions, what we do. And our actions will affect our destiny. Because thinking produces products, we have to control our thought life. If we don't control our thought life, we're going to be producing undesirable products. And all of us have been guilty, and a lot of us have produced things we didn't want. All of us. Well, as the old saying goes, you don't cry over spilt milk. You just start where you are. And God, I blew it, and I thank you for your mercy, and help me not to blow it again. You understand? And then be more attentive to the Spirit of God. We choose the thoughts that we control. We choose the thoughts that control us. The devil can't make you think a certain way. He can't make you do anything. He can bring a thought at you, but it's up to you to reject or accept the thought. You with me? Even sinners, heathen, exercise an element of control over their thought life. Y'all just slap him. But they think that would get me in trouble, so I won't. Devil couldn't make them. You follow me? They took control of that thought. But what if you just start listening to that thought? You just might slap somebody. Right? Then the thought controlled you. It took over you. That's why it's so important that we control our thought life. One's life is controlled by his thinking. We are where we are because of our thinking. You can blame it on anybody you want to, and you can blame it on the past, you can blame it on this, you can blame it on that. No, the problem is the thinking. We are where we are because of our thinking. My thinking's got me in trouble and got me out of trouble. And so is yours. It's caused me to do wrong things. It's caused me to do right things. God's wanting us to take control of our thought life to where we stop doing the wrong things. And we start doing the right things. And I can tell you, the right things are not always convenient. But they're always necessary for the welfare of our lives. God wants us thinking like Him, so we're talking like Him. You listen to most Christian people, church people, they talk like the church. a denomination or whatever. Not talking like God. God wants us talking like Him. And I can't do that if I don't think like Him, and I can't think like Him if I don't know the Word of God. That's just thoughts. But it's not going to do you any good in a book. The psalmist said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you don't get the word of God hidden in your heart, you will sin against God. It's not you may, you will. That's why we need to get the word in there so we can think like God. You don't like where you are, you don't like the destiny, you don't like the place you're going, change your thinking. "Well, I don't know if I can do that or not." Well, you can if you want to. And when your desire becomes strong enough, you will. Problem is, people don't have the desire to do things. "Well, I can't do that." No, you're lying. You could. You just don't want to because it would take too much effort. And God's wanting the body of Christ to put forth the effort to represent Him on earth by being like Him. Now, don't you ever let anybody tell you that you were born to do this, you were born to do that. You're not predestined. God puts gifts in you. God puts abilities in you. Everything you have, obviously, any good thing, has come from God. And God had a purpose for those gifts being in you, but He didn't predetermine that you're going to do this and you have no choice. No, He puts those things in you, and it should stimulate a desire to go toward that destination. But if you choose not to, He's not going to make you. God set the promised land before the nation of Israel. He said, "I've given it to you." But they chose not to go into it. He didn't make them go in there. And God will not make you go to a certain destination. He will recommend, but you choose. They thought it was too hard. The fight's not worth it. And that's the way a lot of people think today. They think the fight's not worth it. Well, you're fighting for eternal life. And I promise you that it's worth the fight. I just don't believe in rolling over and playing dead. Just giving up. You know, when I went through survival training before I went to Vietnam, you're going through this thing to where you're hiding and the enemy's after you and all this type stuff, and we're teamed up in twos, and this guy and myself, we got in this hole and pulled a brush pile over us. And they're out there cussing you and calling you all kinds of names. "You pigs, I know you never come out." And he started running. "Oh, God, come get me." No, I'm not surrendering. Too many people have just surrendered to the devil. They don't want to fight. Wonder why this is going awry and that's going awry. You're letting it go awry. Put your white flag, burn that white flag. Only surrenders to God, not to the devil. Then He won't control your life and He won't take you in a wrong destination. You determine where you go in this life. People choose vocation. I chose. You know, in the early years of my life, especially when I went in the Navy, you have a choice of choosing what vocation you want to pursue. Well, I had worked in construction work, and I'd worked in electrical work. One uncle was an electrical contractor, and another was a building contractor, and I'd worked with both of them. And then I'd worked with my dad in electrical work, but I love mechanics. And so I had to choose which one of those I wanted to pursue. Nobody made me. It was a choice. Then when I got out of service, I had to choose. Do I want to go diesel or do I want to go gasoline? Nobody made me. I chose. You understand? Do you realize that I was choosing my destiny? God wasn't waking me up in the middle of the night and saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. No, I wasn't even listening to God. I was thinking for myself. God was patient. And God used those things as training for me, as a matter of fact. But I chose that. Do you know God didn't make me get saved? He didn't lasso me and drag me in. But I mean, I'd gotten totally out of church. But one day reality set in. We followed through, and I did. I followed through. I didn't feel a thing. You understand? No goosebumps, no glory stuff, and all this type stuff. I didn't feel any more than that column feels right there. It was a decision. Now it's proven time. Put up or shut up. You've stopped thinking. And when I started thinking right, I thought, well, if I'm going to serve God, no, God, I'm going to have to read the Bible. And so I just read it all the time. And God's thinking gets in you. When you get God's words in you, you get God's thoughts in you. When you get God's thoughts in you, you start talking different. I started talking different than the religious denomination. When you start talking different and they talk, they get mad at you. You're the idiot. They're the ones that's right. You know, you've been in the presence of God, but to me, what they're saying is God's stupid. I knew I'd encountered God, and I knew I wasn't smart enough to come up with the stuff that God had shown me. But you make a choice there. Are you going to go with God, or are you going to conform to religion? I've never been a real good conformist. I don't have any problem with authority, but I do have a problem with fad and form. You understand? I am who I am, and I don't want to be like you. And that's what you should say about me. And too many ministers are trying to be like other ministers. I was flying somewhere on a trip and sitting beside this guy who's evidently a businessman, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I keep my mouth shut. I just, when I get on the plane, I'm going somewhere. I'm not socializing. And he said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a minister. He said, of course, they're going to try to pinpoint you down to a denomination and all that. I said, well, I'm non-denominational. He wouldn't back off, you know. I was just wanting quiet time. And they said, who's your mentor? I said, I beg your pardon? He said, you know, who do you try to, which minister do you try to be like? I said, well, this may surprise you, but I hope I'm like Jesus. I said, I'm not trying to be like any other man. That scared him off. He stopped asking me questions after that. He let me have my quiet time. But I've thought about that a lot. And I watched these guys go through Bible college. And they're trying to be like some particular minister. How many people have tried to pattern Billy Graham? In gesture, in voice intonation, and all these type things. Many of these ministers that were very visible, you have these guys follow them around and they're trying to be like them. And I don't know. I was just born not trying to be like nobody. Thank God. What you see is what you get. It doesn't get any better. So quit hoping and wishing, okay? It is what it is. And you have to settle that on the inside of you. I'm in the body I'm in. God knows all about it. So I'm going to like it. You understand? Even if it's not 7 feet tall. Or if it doesn't, weigh 100 pounds. Whatever. You understand? I'm perfectly content with the body. I don't need to be macho man. And you need to get delivered from that stuff of letting society tell you what's the right weight, what's the right height, what's the normal this, what's the normal that. What's normal is what's normal for me. What's normal for me may not be normal for you. I want a pattern after the Lord. I'll get my normality from Him. You understand? Not from everything around you. God created you to be uniquely different. Be uniquely different. Be satisfied with who you are and quit wishing you look like something else. Well, I'm going to get this plastic surgery. I'm going to get this nose job. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. So you're going to tamper with what God made. Crazy. Spend all kinds of money. Futile. Just wasting. For nothing. Pursuing the wrong thing. God wants us to pursue Him. Think of God thoughts. Reveals your destiny. It'll reveal. So this is what I'm supposed to be doing. A lot of people succeed naturally doing the wrong thing. Takes them in the wrong direction. I think I told you guys about an attorney that the Lord spoke to me and said to tell him he was supposed to be a preacher. Oh, he became wealthy, but he missed his calling. What does it profit a person if you gain the whole world, lose your own soul? What's the money going to do you after you die? You understand? You can accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and the next person after you that gets to inherit what you have may waste it in a short period. God thinks before He speaks. Or before he acts. And because he gets his thoughts right, his words and actions are always right. Have you ever noticed God's never missed it? Because he thought right. And his thinking has produced incredible results, wouldn't you say? You know, if you read Psalm 139, it talks about the pregnancy of a woman and the forming of that fetus into a baby in that woman. God has all these things preordained as to when it's to develop. That's why in medical science they can tell you that at this point in pregnancy, this should be like this, this should be like this, this should be like this, this should be like this. God thought all that out. Amazing, isn't it? He's actually pretty smart, if you think about it. In Revelation 13, and also in Revelation 17, God's telling you, or Jesus is saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, I'm beginning and the end. It starts in Him. In the beginning was the Word. Now you look at creation. God thought it before He spoke it. So I know God wasn't looking out there and thinking, boy, it's dark, boy, it's dark, boy, it's dark. No, God was thinking, I need light out here. I need light out here. Light me. His thinking affected His talking. You know that happened with Abraham? Old men, old women, especially barren women, can't have babies. many 100-year-old men, 90-year-old women, you don't have babies. But the bottom line is, God got him thinking right. Seed's coming out of you. Sarah's going to give birth to this seed. Change your name. Change your name from Abram to Abraham. I'm just consolidating all this, okay? But through thinking, how did his thinking change? Conversation with God. He's hearing God. And because he's hearing God, he's thinking like God. And so here a man is that doesn't have children, calling himself father of many nations. What's your name? Oh, I'm the father of many nations. Yeah, you have a lot of children? Oh yeah, I have multitudes, like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. You got to get it in your thinking. As you think, you'll become. You understand? So you have to get your thinking right. God finishes before he starts. He finishes everything in his thinking before he ever brings it into existence. And so he gets everything right in thought first. Now what if we would do that? We get in too big a hurry. We don't want to think things through. We'll do something if it's wrong. Well, now, how stupid can you be? Do something if it's wrong, even if it's wrong. Well, what good's doing a wrong thing in there? It's going to get you in more trouble. No, we have to process things. Get things perfected in your imagination before you try to implement it. How many products have been engineered and put on the market and then recalled? Lack of thinking. Getting in too big a hurry. I promise you, foreknowledge is better than hindsight. God operates with foreknowledge. If you have the foreknowledge, you know the outcome. You've already worked all this thing out. You've worked everything out in your mind. So you know what's going to happen. Well, that worked. Of course it worked. It worked in here. You get it working in here and it works out here. Because God knows the end from the beginning, he can give us advice along the way. We just have to listen. We have to train ourselves to think in agreement with God. The right thinking produces powerful results. And then thinking is influenced by subjection. We have to be extremely cautious with our thoughts. Don't subject yourself to a thought you don't want to become a reality. You know, that's what worry is. It gets you thinking on something you don't want. And it's wearing you out emotionally. People made themselves sick worrying. You have to discipline yourself to think beyond third dimension, get into the spirit where God is, and start thinking outside the senses, outside the reason. Don't limit yourself to what you see. All things are possible for those who believe. So get the limitations off you. You can be what you want to be. You can go as far as you want to go. You're your worst enemy. Or you can be your best friend. Faith is tied to thought. Faith comes by hearing, right? Whose thoughts are you hearing? If you're hearing God's thoughts, you're facing God. If you're hearing the world's thoughts, you're facing the world. And so you're going to go the way of the world. You can go the way of the world, the way of God. The way of the world is always by senses and reason. The way of God will absolutely defy senses and reason. Reason says you can't walk on water. Jesus didn't know that, so he did. See, a lot of things that people don't do is because they've been told they can't do it. Well, when you realize you can't do it, you'll do it. If you really put your mind to it, and I'm not talking about being stupid and foolish, okay? Thinking like the world will keep you yoked to the world. Thinking like God unites you with the spirit world where God is, and the spirit world has the ability to control the natural world. And I can tell you right now, if you're walking in the spirit, you can take authority over things in the natural, and you can change what you see around you. What destination do you desire to reach? Will the thoughts that you're continually thinking take you to that destination? Or will they prevent you from reaching that destination? You get there by thinking. If you go on a trip, if you're smart at all, you'll be thinking about which road to take, which direction to go. If I'm going to California, I'm not going to drive east. You think it out, don't you? You map it out. Well, start mapping things out in your life. Where's that going to take me? Is it going to take me closer to God? Or is it going to take me further away from God? Anything that won't bring you closer to God, leave it alone. You don't want to go there. I don't care what it is. You as an individual is responsible for your thought life. Every individual. So you have to ask yourself, how well am I managing my thoughts? Or am I just out here just going with the flow? I don't think like other people. I don't like going with the flow. Get upstream where it's clean. Doesn't take a lot of talent to float with the garbage. But it'll take effort to get out of the garbage, and that's what God's wanting us to do. So if you don't like where you're going, change your thinking. And start immediately. You determine what you think. Manage your thoughts well. Meditate on the Word of God day and night until those thoughts permeate your heart. Then your course will be profitable and you'll make wise decisions that'll lead to good success. Actually, that's what God's telling Joshua in Joshua 1:8. Joshua, control your thinking. Don't let the Word of God stop coming out of your mouth. How will that happen? If you stop thinking about the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. And then observe to do what you're meditating on. Then you, not God, you will make your way prosperous by how you think. And then you'll make wise decisions that will lead you to good success. That's a principle that applies to every one of us. Right thinking will produce a life with purpose. And a purposeful life is profitable for God. A life without purpose is Satan's playground. You better get a purpose. Make sure it's a God-given purpose. And here again, I'm not telling you, oh, God, reveal purpose to me. Lord, I want to know you more. So I'm going to spend more time with you. I'm going to spend time in this Word. I'm going to spend time talking to you. I'm going to spend time listening to you. And when I do that, I'm going to know things I didn't know before. Then I can say and do things that I didn't know to do and say. Yeah. Well, I hope this has provoked your thinking, because your thinking is a major factor in your life. It's leading you somewhere. Let it lead you closer to God. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, since the Lord gave this to me, I've been thinking consciously. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Amen. Have a great afternoon. I believe the Lord spoke to me this morning. What He gave me a thought. And I believe that's what we're going to be sharing with you tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this thought is. I want to see the shape it takes, okay?